The Mother's Trust. Sermon by Mrs. E. G. White at Great Grimsby, England. Great Grimsby, England, circa 1886. The work of the mother is a solemn and important work. Amid the homely cares and the trying duties of everyday life, she should exert an influence that will bless and elevate her household. The graces of the Spirit must appear in her character, or the great work committed to her hands will be marred by impatience and will not bear the divine impress of the Holy Spirit of God. Every mother has a sacred charge from the Heavenly Father in the children that have been committed to her care, and it is her privilege, through the grace of Christ, to mold their characters after the divine pattern, to shed an influence over their lives that will draw them toward God and heaven. The babe in the mother's arms is something more than a burden or a toy. It is a charge committed from God, and it is both a privilege and duty to train it for the kingdom of heaven. If mothers had always realized their high responsibility and made it the work of their lives to fit their children for the solemn duties of this life, and for the honors of the future, immortal life, we would not see the misery that exists in so many of the homes of our land. The mother's work is of such a character that it demands continual advancement in her own life in order that she may be able to lead her children to higher and higher attainments. She must be taught of God. She must be a daily learner in the school of Christ if she would impart instruction in righteousness. The mother who bears this sacred burden will feel the need of divine support, and like the woman in Judea, will bring her little ones to Jesus that his hand may be laid in blessing on their heads, his spirit subdue their hearts. Satan is playing the game of life for the souls of both parents and children. Mothers are drawn away from the duties of home and the careful training of their children to the service of self and the world. Vanity, fashion, and matters of minor importance are allowed to absorb the attention, and the education of the precious children is neglected. It is not enough that your children are sent to school and to the house of God. You are to teach them the statutes of Jehovah by precept and example. The Lord says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up." Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, 7. The requirements of God are of deep significance, and those who value the salvation of their children will seek to fulfill them in the strength of Christ. The mother, if she makes the customs and practices of the world her criterion, will become physically and mentally unfitted for the careful duties of her lot. Fashion should not hold her bondage, for it will weaken her powers of endurance and make life a wearing burden instead of a blessing. Through physical weakness brought on by overtaxation, she may fail to appreciate the great privileges that have been bestowed upon her, and her family will grow up without the benefits of her thought and prayers and diligent instruction. It is Satan's studied plan to pervert every habit of life from its proper channel, that God may be dishonored in the creatures he has made, and that they may become lifelong sufferers by breaking the laws of life. Mothers have done themselves great injury by girding their waists with tight garments. They have robbed their children of vitality and lessened their own power to do good in their families and in society. When the waist is girded, the organs of the body cannot perform their proper functions with comfort, promoting health and life. It is impossible to take a full inspiration. The lungs are cramped, and the lower chambers are rendered useless, and it is no wonder that consumption soon begins its fatal work. The responsibilities of the failing mother have to be laid down, and she is consigned to an early grave. Her children are left in their inexperience to the mercies of the world. It is not the will of God that men and women should die prematurely, leaving their work unfinished. He would have us live with every organ free. It is His will that we should be in harmony with the laws of life. Many complain at the providences of God when disease and death remove the members of the household. But it is unjust to charge God with the sure results of their own transgression of natural laws. Mothers, do you want your girls to live, enjoying good health? Then teach them to dress healthfully. You do not want poor, feeble creatures, incapable of joy and unfit for usefulness in the world. If you love your child and desire her good, why do you teach her by your example that it is not a sin to deform the human form? What reason can you render to the Creator for marring His handiwork? Let us turn away from the fashion plates and study our own organism. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Can Christian mothers be worshippers at the shrine of fashion and yet preserve their loyalty to the God of heaven? This is impossible. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6, verse 24. You cannot devote your time and talents to the world and yet keep your mind and body in a condition to do the work committed to you for time and for eternity in training your children for the heavenly courts. Oh, if mothers would only consider the wonderful privileges that God has given them, they would not turn aside from their sacred duties for the trivial affairs of the world. The mother's work begins with the babe in her arms. I have often seen the little one throw itself and scream if its will was denied in any way. Then is the time to rebuke the evil spirit. Satan will try to control the minds of our children, but shall we allow him to mold them after his will? These little ones cannot discern what spirit is influencing them, and it is the duty of parents to decide for them. Their habits must be carefully watched. Everything that has an evil tendency should be curbed. Regularity should be the rule in all their habits. Mothers make a great mistake in permitting the children to piece between meals. The stomach becomes deranged by this practice, and a foundation is laid for future suffering. Mothers complain of the delicate health of their children and consult the doctor. But if they would but exercise a little common sense, they would see that the trouble often results from mistakes in eating or from overeating. Tea and coffee and spices are not good for you or your children. They are stimulating and not nourishing. Pastries, rich cakes, greasy food, and meats are not necessary or wholesome. Mothers should become intelligent as to what is the best quality food and how it should be prepared. Our children should have plenty of simple, nutritious food. There is good religion in a wholesome loaf of bread. Fruits, grains, and vegetables, prepared so that they will be both wholesome and palatable, requires painstaking effort and will keep the blood in a better state and the body in a stronger condition than the stimulating diet that so generally is placed upon our tables. We should not feel that what we eat is lost, but should take pains to have the very best food possible for our needs. But parents should remember that they must control their own appetites and tempers if they would see their children develop noble, Christ-like characters. In England, I noticed the horror of the saloon, that they should have, and as they hear the enticing music of the place of vice, the habits of their home life will not be like a strong fortification against temptation and ruin. It is painful to see the children loitering about the street corners, smoking the stubs of cigars that men have thrown away. They are born with a natural tendency to these evil habits. They have inherited the self-destroying appetite from their fathers, and unless this is overcome, they will only be vessels of dishonor, unworthy of the societies of saints in light. I am glad to know that there is a law here in England prohibiting children under a certain age to use tobacco. But would not the law be more efficient for good if the lawmakers themselves would set a worthy example to the youth of this age? Should not this law reach to the parents? Let the sunshine into your parlors. Let the children find their home the most attractive place on the earth. Weave about them such influences that they will not seek for street companions or think of the places of vice except with horror. Seek to have them adorned with a meek and quiet spirit, which is of great price in the sight of God. If your children have good health, pleasant tempers, and the grace of Christ rules their hearts, you may rejoice at your success. Take up your neglected duties in the name and through the strength of Christ, and you will do a work that will be written in the immortal records of heaven. You may bring your children to Him who has purchased them with His own blood, and hear the glad words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," from the lips of the Divine Master. Matthew 25, verse 21.